Lakers fall to the Portland Trailblazers 115-107, the final score. Now 2-2 on the season. Portland improves their record to 2-1. Lakers just not enough in that fourth quarter. Get outscored by 9 points in the fourth, 31-22, and that's the difference of the game. Defensively, when the Lakers needed stops, they did not get it. Just to kind of recap things, the bench for the Portland Trailblazers, the difference of the game as well. Lakers get 23 points off the bench, while the Portland Trailblazers get 45 points. 28 points for Gary Trent Jr., 10 of 14 from the field, 7 of 11 from the three-point line. No answer for Gary Trent Jr. And then even guys like Enes Kanter, 12 points and 14 rebounds. We know the backcourt of the Michael and I talked about it in the pregame show. It's the best backcourt in the NBA. The fact that Klay's out, you know, obviously this year with his injury, but C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, as good as it gets. Both those guys deliver. C.J. McCollum might not have made it happen from a field goal perspective, 7 of 22 from an efficiency perspective, but he had 20 points and 11 assists. Dame Lillard, 10 of 16. So Dame only needs 16 shots to get 31 points. That's as efficient as it gets. So overall for the Portland Trailblazers, a big win for them. And for the Lakers, as great as LeBron was, 11 of 20 from the field, the 29 points, 6 assists, and 9 rebounds. As great as Dennis Schroeder has been for the Lakers all season in these first four games, ends up with 24 points and 4 assists. It's not enough. AD didn't look like Anthony Davis. We'll hopefully kind of get an idea from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel if he's 100% healthy. So AD ended up, by the way, with 13 points, 6 of 14 from the field. All right, let's take a quick listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel on the Lakers 115-107 victory or 115-107 loss to the Portland Trailblazers.
Hey Frank, what did you see after you got to up to that 13 point lead in the first quarter? Did you see something switch?
Well, I thought we came out with great energy, obviously, and sort of jumped on them, built up that early lead. We just weren't able to sustain it, for whatever reason. Portland's a very good team, and they made their counters with their energy and made their runs. And, when they made their runs, we just weren't able to sustain the energy we began the game with.
Frank, AD got some post-ups in the second half. Seemed like he got going a little bit. I just wondered what you thought of his game overall in that first half especially.
Yeah, I just think we didn't do a good enough job making sure he was involved in the offense in the first half. We just got to do a bit better job of that, but certainly a little bit better in the second half. Just one of those nights we were kind of stuck in mud a little bit. I don't know if we could play last night or whatever. But after, like I said, after we came out strong to start out of the gates, just had trouble sustaining that energy and intensity.
Just any early thoughts on closing lineups? I know it's something that fluctuated from game to game last season, but anything on tonight in that group that you saw for most of the fourth quarter?
Yeah, well, we're a new team. So, we're going to continue to look at different things. We can play with Mark or Trez, finish him. We have the ability to slide AD over the five. I hadn't had Keith in the game because we wanted to have a ball handler in there with Bron during that stretch where Keith normally plays. So, he would have been cold to put him in late. And, I like the lineup that we had out there, but we just weren't able to get the job done.
Dave?
Frank, staying on AD, you mentioned that it was kind of on the team to get him better looks. Was there anything on him that he could have done to put himself in a better position, come to the ball more often? Was it just on the team, or was there anything that he could have done as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really, starts with the group. We just weren't moving the ball that well. I got to make sure that I get him the ball in opportunities where he can be aggressive. Because when we do that, we know he's aggressive and carries a big load for us. So it's really on the group.
Bill?
Hey, Frank. Obviously, Portland has really dynamic guards, so maybe this is more noticeable given the matchup. But just what did you feel like you missed with Alex not out there tonight?
Oh, we miss Alex. Alex is great energy. He's one of our most vocal guys, even when he's not in the game. Just talking out coverages, and he's like an assistant coach over there, helping guys through defending actions. And, he's a big part of what we do, obviously. So, we certainly miss his energy tonight.
And we'll take three more questions. Kyle Boone.
Yeah, Frank, just Marc Gasol seemed like he had some good defensive moments, but didn't make the passing influence he had. And Trez, it seemed like he was still trying to find his scoring self even late into the game. What's sort of the balance of trying to find some of those key situations where each guy can play, and how did you tonight sort of make grade on choosing which of those guys to put in the closing lineup?
Yeah, we're going to have the ability to go with either one of those guys or to slide AD at the five, like we talked about. And, obviously Trez had a strong night last night. I liked his ability, with what they were doing defensively, with Trez being able to flash to the rim on AD's post-ups or with him rolling in the pick and roll game, but that group just wasn't able to get the job done. Like I said, it's early in the season. We'll continue to look at a lot of different combinations.
Last two, Jovan.
Hey, Frank. You guys had to play up in your pick and roll coverages because of Dame and CJ's ability to, shoot off the dribble. I'm curious how you felt the bigs did in their defensive coverages, as well as in the fourth quarter and maybe some of those breakdowns.
I thought they were pretty good for the first time in our scheme. Like I said, we haven't had a whole lot of practice time. Obviously, what we did in the playoffs, you have a whole 2 weeks to lock into one opponent. This is the second night of a back-to-back, so there's not a lot of reps for new guys to get involved. But I thought they did a good job. I think the bigger thing more than Dame's going to be Dame. CJ's always tough to guard, but we didn't get Gary Trent under control. I think that was one of the biggest things with the. With the bench, he came in and lit us up. And, if you look at the box score, that's where the separation really existed, and from a plus minus standpoint is, their bench combinations, not just their bench, because obviously, Dame or CJ is out there just like we have LeBron or Anthony out there. But those minutes is where they sort of separated themselves.
Last question, Dan.
Frank, you talked a little bit about rim protection last night. Obviously, it's not going to be the same as it was a year ago when you lose guys like JaVale and Dwight. I think you led the league in blocks last year. Can you do that other ways? Is it with, Trez as a charge taker? Are there kind of different ways to protect the rim? And how do you think that's going to sort of play out here as this team kind of figures out what it's going to do defensively?
Yeah, I don't think we should be any worse than we were last year. There's going to be high expectation of protecting the basket. And you just said it right there, Trez with his charge taken and shot blocking. He's a good shot blocker too. And, obviously, Mark is a former defensive player of the year. So, we have everything we need to get the job done.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. If you're just tuning in right now, the Blazers over the Lakers. 115-107, the final score. A couple things stuck out there with Coach's interview. He said that he liked the way the Lakers obviously started the game, not able to sustain the energy. So the Lakers did have in that first half, might have been just in that first quarter, a 13-point lead. So Lakers, you felt like, had control of the game. They came out to a hot start. KCP was 3-for-3 from the three-point line to start things off. LeBron James was hitting everything. And then as the dust settled, Coach said that they were stuck in the mud. Maybe that's the fact, and not here to make excuses, but maybe the fact that they played three games in four nights, maybe that has something to do with it. They played the Dallas Mavericks on Christmas. They played the Minnesota Timberwolves yesterday, and then, of course, tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. As far as Anthony Davis goes, Coach said that he's got to do a better job of finding AD the ball, getting him the ball in better spots. Just watching from my own personal perspective, and I saw John and Michael on the call were mentioning it as well, AD didn't look like the regular Anthony Davis that we're accustomed to. Maybe that calf strain is still bothering him, but he ended up with 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. But that activity that we're accustomed to with Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the world, just didn't feel his presence tonight like we've felt it on other nights. Of course, Alex Caruso not being in the game as well, that has impact, because if there's a game that you want to have a guy like Caruso in, you want to have him in a game against the Blazers where there's Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And then Gary Trent Jr., Coach said that Lakers didn't have him under control. When Gary Trent Jr. goes 10 of 14 from the field, between Gary Trent Jr. and Damian Lillard, I know this sounds funny, I'm not talking about CJ McCollum, between those two players, they're 20 of 30 from the field. 20 of 30 from the field, and they ended up with close to 60 points between those two players. I think 59 points between the two. So Lakers couldn't get it done on the defensive side. When we come back, we'll continue to have this conversation about the Blazers' win over the Lakers, 115-107. I do want to open up the phone line. So 877-710-ESPN. If you're out there driving around and you want to be a part of the postgame show and give your thoughts on this Lakers loss, please feel free to give us a call at 877-710-ESPN plus KCP coming up next. Pizza at Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's Lillard, bounce pass, stolen by LeBron. Here come the Lakers. LeBron ahead to KCP, and he drops it. KCP steals it. Or rather, C.J. McCollum stole it from KCP, and now LeBron takes it back, and here's LeBron on a breakaway. Tomahawk dunk, and the Lakers lead 14-5.
I think there was three steals in that one possession. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit savewithadriana's.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings. The Blazers over the Lakers, 115-107. Let me grab a couple calls here as we continue the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. DJ in Thousand Oaks, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
How you doing, Ali?
Doing okay, man. What'd you think of the game tonight?
I mean, it was kind of a harsh game, you know. I mean, I wasn't expecting this kind of season, but we still got better.
What changes, by the way? Just get your thoughts on this. You lose to Portland, you're at home, you played three games in four nights. What do you think they got to do differently?
I mean, looking at the stats, to be honest, I thought we'd probably do worse without AD, but I mean, now that we have AD, we're still good, but I mean, we're better win.
Yeah, it wasn't Chris. DJ, appreciate you calling in. They were just eh. You know, there were moments of the game, and I know you're not going to play the Minnesota Timberwolves every night without Karl Anthony Towns, and we're going to look like the best team in the league, and I'm not saying that the Lakers are not the best team in the league, but they're 2-2, so let's kind of take it for what it is. But that ball movement that you saw yesterday, those defensive stops, you want to start seeing that on a more consistent basis. And like I mentioned with Anthony Davis, coach said that they got to do a better job of getting him the ball. But listen, I've got a chance, and everybody else has over this last year, to see who Anthony Davis is. That was an AD. So, I'd be curious to see if this calf strain is still bothering him. Nonetheless, as a team, the Lakers collectively couldn't get stops when they needed it. And the Gary Trent Jr. part and the bench of the Portland Trailblazers, arguably the difference. Ryan in Lake Arrowhead, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Hi, doing, Alan?
Good, man. What's going on?
I'm good. I agree with you about Gary Trent Jr. I think he's the reason why the...
Still there, Ryan? All right, we'll move on from Ryan. He was on his way to making a good point. Lakers made Gary Trent Jr. 100% made Gary Trent Jr. look like he was Reggie Miller out there. Made him look like he was Steph Curry. He ended up 10 of 14 from the field, 7 of 11 from the 3-point line. So that's the 28 points right there from Gary Trent, specifically from Gary Trent. Portland now 2-1 on the season. KCP, by the way, started off. KCP just in that, I want to say the first half. I know in the first half he had 9 points. So started off hot for the Lakers, ended up with 14, 4 of 5 from the 3-point line, 5 of 9 from the field, played 29 minutes for the Lakers. Let's get KCP's thoughts on the Lakers' 8-point loss to the Blazers.
You know, coming into tonight, obviously, back into a back-to-back, you guys got off to a great start in the first, opened up the third on a nice run. How would you describe kind of what made the difference down the stretch and what Portland was able to do to close this one out?
I think what the Portland did, they turned up the intensity, you know, the pressure. They forced turnovers for us. And, you know, they made shots on the other end.
When it comes to obviously making shots, you got a guy like Dame that you guys are all accustomed to and CJ. How does it change the game plan when you got a guy like Gary Trent finding his rhythm in which he did tonight, 28 off the bench?
It changes a lot. You know, we know our game plan was coming in for CJ and Dame, knowing they was going to get all the shots up. But, you know, Gary Trent came in and he was on tonight. You know, I don't even think he missed a three. But, you know, things like that, we got to stop. You know, we can't let a third guy, you know, at least get over 25, 30, knowing that Dame and CJ is going to do that as well.
Last one for me, Kentavious. Obviously, you guys as a team take a lot of pride on the defensive end of the floor. We know, of course, a shortened offseason, not a whole lot of time in training camp. How would you describe kind of where you guys are on that end this early in the season and kind of where you guys need to evolve the most?
I feel like our communication need to get better. You know, we still lack that on the defensive end because new guys, you know, trying to figure it out and stuff like that. But I feel like it's our chemistry is building fast, you know, as we expected. You know, we still learning each other. But, you know, we just look forward to just getting that chemistry together.
Thanks, Kentavious.
All right, that's KCP right there. You know, and that is going to be one of the things with this schedule. It's such a compressed season that you're going to have a lot of these games over the course of the next couple of months. Obviously, we only have the first 37 games for the Lakers. They're already four games in. Lakers sitting at 2-2. But what KCP is referring to there about communication needs to get better, that the chemistry will start flowing over time. It's going to happen quick. And one of the things that stuck out to me in training camp is Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. So they do we got those Zoom calls almost on a daily basis where we get to hear from coach. And one of the things coach said is that their training camp and preseason is going to leak into the regular season, that they're going to have to use these regular season games to kind of figure things out on the fly. And they're not the only team. I mean, I'm not here. It's not like the Lakers are in any other that much different of a position than other teams in the league. A lot of teams will have turnover on their roster. Lakers have five new players or four new players that are on the roster, five Alphonso McKinney as well. But they have a number of guys that they're going to have to kind of eventually work in. The timing's going to get right. Michael hates when I make this point, but you just hear KCP saying it right there, that chemistry will get better as they go along. I do believe that the team that we're watching right now with the Lakers will be completely different in 30 days from now, 60 days from now. In tonight's game, and I think this is going to be the key for the Lakers, when they get stops and they play defense, not too many teams are going to have the chance to beat them because they got so much firepower on offense that they can go to. It could be LeBron getting 30 one night, AD getting 30 another night, both of them getting 30, Dennis Schroeder 20-plus points, Montrezl Harrell, I talk about a walking double-double or whatever the case is. So I do think there's something to it about when you kind of look and you pay attention to what this Lakers team is going to look like over time. It's going to look a lot different. Every league or every team in the league is trying to figure things out as they go. So where the Lakers sit right now, they got an opportunity coming up on Wednesday against the San Antonio Spurs. Then they get the Spurs again. Let me actually just give Laker fans a quick idea of the next few games for the Lakers. You got the Spurs coming up on the road. Spurs again on the road. Two games against Memphis, who looks like they lost Ja Morant today. He was taken off on a wheelchair, so hopefully he's okay. Then the Spurs in Chicago back here at Staples Center. I mean, you got some games that you can really start doing some damage. These are not that good of teams, so we'll see how the Lakers react and respond. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk about this Lakers loss to the Blazers, 115-107. We'll also get a chance to hear from more Lakers as we get through the postgame show here. Stay right here. You're listening to the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. Avista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956, Avista Paint. Points in the paint, Lakers 52, the Portland Trailblazers 40. Portland did make it up from the three-point perspective. How about Portland taking 46 threes in tonight's contest? 46 threes. They hit 16 of them. Lakers only took 27. They hit 10. So percentage-wise, Lakers were better off than the Portland Trailblazers, 37% to 35. But a plus 18 for the Blazers from the three-point line. I want to go back to something real quick on the Anthony Davis part. I know I got a lot of people hitting me up on Twitter, want to talk some Anthony Davis. AD, this is what I'll be curious on. You got another game coming up on Wednesday against the San Antonio Spurs. Let's see how AD responds in that game. This was the theme for me that I noticed when we'd watch and listen to Anthony Davis last season. When AD has a bad game or just the game, 13 points and 10 rebounds, that's a very average game for below average game for Anthony Davis. It's a superstar. But typically what happens with AD, if he has a bad game, he comes back the next game and he does some damage and he goes to work. And we'll see if that happens on Wednesday. That's what I'm curious to certainly watch. Another player I want to get into. So Kuzma, in the last contest, had 20 points, led the Lakers yesterday against Minnesota Timberwolves, shot 8 of 12 from the field. He was fantastic. And I remember talking about this in the postgame show, and I even mentioned it to Michael in the pregame show. I said, you know, when people make the case, man, Kyle Kuzma is so good when he gets in the starting lineup or LeBron or Anthony Davis, one of those two players are out, look at Kuzma shine. I hate trying to look at it that way because that's not reality. Reality is when LeBron James and Anthony Davis are in the game, what then does guys like Kyle Kuzma and some of these other role players, that's how we have to judge them because AD and LeBron are the franchise. That's the foundation. You're only going to have an opportunity to win an NBA championship if those guys are in the game. So not even just if they're in the game, but you know, obviously they're performing at top-notch level like they did against Miami and Houston and Denver and Portland in that finals run in the Orlando bubble. So Kuz tonight, I always try to pay attention to how does Kuz do when AD and LeBron are there. That to me is more important than how Kuzma does when one of those two players are out. So Kuz tonight, 2-9 from the field, 2-8 from the 3-point line, and just 6 points for the Lakers. I don't typically judge box scores on just how a player shoots. This is how I would judge Kyle Kuzma's night tonight because we said the difference of the game is one bench scored 45 points for the Portland Trailblazers. Another bench for the Lakers scored 23 points. So if we do judge the Lakers, that is the difference of the game. Now, let me also say something. Offensively for the Lakers, yes, you know, there were areas they definitely could have been better. But for the most part, whenever Lakers lose games, it's because they didn't get stops and they didn't get those defensive stops that they wanted on the defensive end. But if I look at Kuz, this is the part that I did not like about Kuz's game. 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals. He did have 1 block shot. Okay, so it's not all about shooting. By the way, also taking 8 threes and nothing else, you know, only 1 shot within the three-point line, I don't think that's, you know, the best use for Kyle Kuzma. So he goes 2-9 from the field. But like I said, what I hope for is, you know, when we watch some of these players, are there other ways that they're more effective? And I think that's the key thing to kind of just keep an eye on. Your shot's not always going to fall. It's not. But are you finding ways to be effective? Are you finding ways to contribute? And, you know, certainly for the Lakers tonight, and I'm just specifically talking about Kuz because he had that 20-point game yesterday. I thought tonight forced some jumpers and did not do what we're expecting him to do, is do some of those small things as well if your shot is not falling. If your shot's falling, then it's just icing on the cake. Talen Horton-Tucker off the bench, 6 points. Wesley Matthews, just 2 points, 1-3 from the field. So those guys that you're depending on a night-in-night-out basis, you didn't get it from the bench. Can I say this? Dennis Schroeder has been fantastic for the Lakers. You saw him and Dame chirping a little bit at each other. By the way, I don't mind that. I kind of like when players are doing that. I think you have to be very strategic with which players you should chirp at. I don't know if Damian Lillard is the best guy to go back and forth with when it comes to talking, but Damian Lillard tonight ended up with 31 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds, where Dennis Schroeder, 24 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, also had a steal, 8 of 16 from the field, played 36 minutes. Schroeder's going to be a big player for the Lakers. You could just tell. You could just tell that his capability, you could just tell that he's going to have a bigger and bigger impact as the season progresses, and he's obviously going to be key for the Lakers. I want to play one more thing from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. So he was talking about their defensive coverages, and the Lakers gave up 115 points tonight. Take a listen to head coach Frank Vogel specifically on the defense.
I thought they were pretty good for the first time in our scheme. You know, like I said, we haven't had a whole lot of practice time. Obviously, what we did in the playoffs, you have a whole 2 weeks to lock into one opponent. This is the second night of the back-to-back, so there's not a lot of reps for new guys to get involved. But I thought they did a good job. I think the bigger thing, more than Dame's going to be Dame. CJ's always tough to guard, but we didn't get Gary Trent under control. You know, I think that was one of the biggest things with the bench. You know, he came in and lit us up, and if you look at the box score, that's where the separation really existed. You know, in a plus minus from a plus minus standpoint is their bench combinations, not just their bench, because obviously, Dame or CJ's out there, just like we have LeBron or Anthony out there. But those minutes is where they sort of separated themselves.
That's the one area that I want to see the Lakers, just on the defensive side. That's all I want to see, just consistently from the Lakers, if they can be a team that just has lockdown moments, especially towards the end of the game. And obviously for the Lakers, if they got some stops there towards the end where they weren't just depending on scoring on the offensive end, maybe they come out with a win against the Portland Trail Blazers tonight. But instead, 115-107, the final score. Lakers now 2-2 on the season. Coming up next, LeBron James. So LBJ, 29 points tonight, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, a block shot, 11 of 20, 36 minutes. LBJ did everything he can. Not enough for the Lakers. LeBron coming up next. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. 115-107, the final score. The Blazers over the Lakers. Lakers will head to San Antonio coming up this Wednesday. Lakers and the San Antonio Spurs. Remember all those great battles Lakers used to have back in the days? Kobe and Shaq, Tim Duncan, Ginobili, Tony Parker. Great era of basketball right there. By the way, a pregame show on Wednesday will start at 4 p.m. and tip-off will be at 5:30. I have Lakers talk tomorrow night, and we'll obviously get a lot of reaction going starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow. Keyshawn, Jay Will, Zubin, and Travis will have a lot of this Laker conversation going. LeBron, I mentioned the 29 points, did everything that he can do to help the Lakers, but it wasn't enough. Let's hear from LBJ on the Lakers' 8-point loss to the Blazers.
LeBron, you guys jumped out to that fast start. What did you see change on the floor from that point to the first quarter?
Both teams just settled in. We knew we played a very good team. So we knew it wasn't going to be a blowout tonight, and we had to win the game throughout 48 minutes. So we got off to a really good start, but both teams settled in and just came down to execution.
Did you see anything with the different in this game from the last couple, LeBron? Anything different on the floor with the way you guys were flowing?
No, I thought I thought we had some great looks, that didn't go down for us, that actually went down for us last couple games, especially Kuz's looks. He had some great looks tonight, and I think the one that he made by their bench was the toughest one out of all the shots that he had. And we had some good looks around the rim that didn't go in, they capitalized off some of our mistakes that we had offensively.
Dave?
LeBron, Frank said that he didn't feel like the team got enough good looks for Anthony.
Hey, LeBron, I actually have an off-court question today. You said before that you had to kind of expect the unexpected in 2020. When you think about, what you've done this year, had to adapt with I Promise and More Than a Vote, what are sort of your lessons and takeaways from 2020 and how it's forced you to evolve those efforts?
that no matter what's going on, you can always still make an impact. No matter, I mean, the world has literally been completely shut down for months and months and months. And but I've been able to, and my team been able to still try to hit home in our community, still try to make an impact. Obviously, keeping in mind, COVID and everything that's going on with the pandemic, just trying to be as proactive, as trying to be as resourceful, trying to be as inspirational, and also continue to empower people like we were able to do with more than a vote, getting people out to understand their power, that they have their power and their right, rightfully so. Even through a global pandemic, you can still make an impact for the greater good.
Last two questions, Dan.
LeBron, you guys are going to head out on a road trip for the first time. I mean, the preseason, I guess. But what's it like to get ready to travel the country right now? And also, I guess, from a basketball standpoint, how unique is it going to be playing these kind of couplets, these little mini series against teams the way you're going to do here in San Antonio, Memphis?
Well, it's going to be different. It's going to be very challenging just to hit the road, which we haven't done much. I mean, obviously the Phoenix trip, but, it was a preseason game. You didn't want to put too much into it. But, now this is the kind of, it's the real deal where all the games count. So it's going to be very different, we believe, going down to Texas and then headed to Tennessee. We'll see what, counties are, what's the rules and regulations in certain counties compared to ours. But more importantly, just trying to stay safe, stay healthy, so we can be available for the games, go out and play our game. Go out and play Laker basketball, and see what goes from there.
Last question, Davide.
Hey, LeBron, Davide from Italy here. Next game is going to be played on the day of your birthday. What does it mean for you to play on such a date?
I've been very fortunate to play some games on my birthday, and this will be another opportunity for me to play the game that I love and also just celebrate another year of existence. Coming from where I come from, a lot of people don't even make it, past 21, for me to be rounding the base to 36 and playing the game that I love to play and being with a great team and a great organization, with a great family, great friends and support system, it makes it a lot greater than the alternative. So just very blessed and very honored, and I'm happy to be, like I said, doing what I love to do.
Thank you so much, LJ. Happy early.
All right, that's LeBron James right there. We'll put a quick little cap on this Lakers-Blazers game. So 115-107, the final score. LeBron talked about they had good looks that just didn't go in. Got to do a better job on getting Anthony Davis the ball. Like I mentioned, you got two games coming up against the San Antonio Spurs. I'm going to talk about the Spurs in a second. But just kind of, recapping this game, Lakers had a chance to win. You had two quarters where you gave up 30-plus points. You did give up an early 13-point lead, but I thought it just came down to getting stops. You can't have a player like Gary Trent Jr. just be so efficient and Dame Lillard be so efficient. Those two guys together go 20 of 30 from the field. So defensively for the Lakers, that's not enough. And then hopefully next time the Lakers take the floor and it's Anthony Davis, it's a different type of AD. So the Lakers got the Spurs coming up. Give everybody just a quick idea here. Spurs are sitting at 2-1. So opening night for them, they beat the Grizzlies by 12. Then they beat the Raptors by 5. And then yesterday they lost to the Pelicans by 3. So Spurs are sitting at 2-1. Lakers taking on the San Antonio Spurs. That game is coming up this Wednesday. Pregame show at 4 p.m. Tip-off will be at 5:30. So we appreciate everybody being a part of the show. Thank you, everybody, that called in the show as well. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.